Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, I want to talk about the depth of this football team coming out of the draft. I think it's my biggest worry about this team in general after seeing what the Steelers were able to get in this draft. You know, there was so much made about finding impact players and would the Steelers move up and get immediate starters and all-in draft and that kind of thing. You know, the Steelers didn't do that. And so they didn't find the immediate impact players. But as I said on this podcast a couple days ago, I don't think that affects the roster as far as its ability to win a Super Bowl, right? I still think this is the most talented roster, especially amongst the starters. But I do want to talk about the depth of this football team because I think we have some real issues there. Before we do that, let's start today with some Steelers news and notes. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting that he's talked to teams, coaches, executives throughout the league that had first-round grades on Terrell Edmunds, even having one say to him that Terrell Edmunds was a top 15 player in this draft. Now, Pro Football Talk earlier this week ran an article saying that they had talked to teams who had Terrell Edmunds rated as a fifth-round player. So all over the board, it's been all over the board in Steeler Nation as far as was this a reach, was this not a reach. I've gone back and forth on it. Again, I'm off the Terrell Edmunds was a reach thing. I think it's less about the value and more about the player himself. But certainly this is just going to add more fuel to the fire now to the whole Terrell Edmunds debate with Jeremy Fowler reporting now that top 15 player in this draft. That to me is a little crazy. I think he might have got that quote from a Steeler executive. The NFL is tweaking the ejection language in the new leading with the helmet rule. Remember, this is a new rule for 2018 where it will be illegal now for players to lead with their helmet. This is in an effort to rid the league of the kind of plays we saw last year. There's been a lot of talk around the league and among coaches and executives about just what will it be, what types of plays are they looking for ejections. And of course, we've seen some of these last year that were pretty egregious. You know, the Danny Trevathan hit on Devontae Adams. You know, they have used that as an example of a play that was an egregious leading with the helmet rule. And so that player would be ejected. I've talked about this rule about a month ago. I'm not a fan of the rule. I'm not a fan of the NFL continuing to add rules to try and make the game safer. I don't think it's the right way to go about this. Now, the way that they're changing this, they're still working on the language because a lot of coaches, Anthony Lynn was very outspoken to this in the article. There's a lot of coaches that are not pleased with this rule or basically have a lot of questions about how this rule is going to be officiated, what constitutes the egregious kind, you know, what are they looking for when it comes to leading with the helmet, that kind of thing. So they're still working on the exact verbiage, but one thing that came out of this early meeting is that this play will be subject to replay. So like targeting in college where the play is immediately reviewed to see if the player should be thrown out, if, you know, if it even is targeting, it seems like the new helmet or leading with the helmet rule will become the same kind of subject to replay. Not only is this going to be a new penalty added to the game, but it's also going to add replay. We're going to have another play that's added to replay, just slowing down the game even further. Look, penalties are the worst part of football, and the NFL has been kind of adding and manipulating the way things are called over the years. And I think last year was particularly bad when it came to games where it just felt like every play there's a penalty. And the league said during this meeting that looking at last year's tape and analyzing games from last year, there would have been 5 leading with the helmet penalties last year per game. I don't know if the NFL is actually going to go through with this. It seems like they're somewhat getting cold feet now as they continue to get more and more scrutiny, not just from us, the fans, but from the actual members of the NFL coaching staffs and executives throughout the league. So we'll see what ultimately comes of this, but boy, five leading with the helmet penalties per game would have been called last year. Now, obviously, the refs aren't going to catch every single one of them, but, whoo, boy, I mean, you really got to be careful because it is, you talk about making the game less fun to watch. You know, at some point, you get to the point where it becomes unwatchable, right? And I think five new personal foul penalties a game, that's way over the top. The NFL's got to look at that. Ben Roethlisberger spoke to Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today about the Steelers drafting Mason Rudolph, the successor now to Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger saying, quote, "If he's going to be their guy, that's great. But in my perfect world, it's not going to be for a while. I plan on playing for 3 to 5 more years, depending on how the line goes and staying healthy, if I can stay healthy. I went and talked to Art Rooney, Coach Mike Tomlin, and Coach Randy Fichtner, and basically said, listen, I can't control, barring major injuries, barring things at home, and things out of your control, the way my body feels. The way our O-line is put together, as good as they are, they kept me healthy for the last couple years. I really feel like I can play this game another 3 to 5 years. So let's not take Ben Roethlisberger at face value here with this quote, right? Because this is 3 days after the draft, and clearly his feelings are a little hurt by this. He's very competitive, and he can be very emotional. This is, in some ways, Ben lashing out in frustration. He does certainly seem motivated by the fact that the Steelers have drafted his replacement. And this is the first time we're hearing him publicly go on record and say he wants to play more than just the year-to-year we've heard him say. This is 3 to 5 more years. We've heard it through players. We've heard Tomlin even said it over the weekend. But this is the first time Ben's gone on record. And straight from Ben, it's not 3 years. It's 3 to 5 more years. Now, the 3 to 5 is a little interesting to me because, as we talked about yesterday, 3 years is fine, right? Year 4, we start Mason Rudolph. 5 more years means no Mason Rudolph. And you got to wonder if Ben had that in his mind when he was, you know, when he went to Ed Bouchette with that quote. I think it's very interesting, the 5 more years. But look, this is what I was talking about, you know, yesterday on the podcast, right? Which is, you know, if you've got a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger who says he wants to play 3 now to 5 more years, right? Well, that puts you in a pretty weird situation, being that you've just drafted his replacement. Now, can Ben Roethlisberger play? Can he really play 3 to 5 more years? I mean, who's to say he can't, right? We all wrote him off last season, right after that Jacksonville game. Right after the first Jacksonville game, he threw 5 interceptions, and we all said, he said it after the game, I don't know if I can play. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know, you know. I don't know if he's good. I'm as guilty as anyone about this. If you were listening to Steeler Country last year, probably my worst take, my coldest take of all time, is after that Jacksonville 5 interception game when I started to say, this is what it looks like, the end of Ben Roethlisberger. We are witnessing the end of Ben Roethlisberger. He came back after that game and had an unbelievable second half of the season, right? He was fantastic, led this team to 13-3. When the defense started falling apart late, the offense picked up every bit of slack for it, all the way through, and including the performance in the playoffs. Yes, he had some turnovers in that game. Yes, the interception that he threw on the sideline, that pass to Vance McDonald, was off his back foot. Shouldn't have thrown it. Kind of fluttered out there. Easy interception. But really, quarters 2 through 4 in that game, he was, I mean, you might argue he was perfect. It was one of his, you would have a hard time finding me a better 3 quarters that Ben Roethlisberger played in his entire career than quarters 2 through 4 in that playoff game. So, you know, if we're projecting out, is Ben Roethlisberger losing a step? Well, not based on how he finished last season, certainly not, right? Will he have a good year in 2018? I mean, we're all thinking he will because, again, we've talked so much about this being an all-in season. 2019, 2 years from now, why not? Why can't he play in 2019? 2020? I mean, look, he'll be 39, so that'll be pushing it, but that's where the position is. And so when you hear Ben Roethlisberger say things like this, like, I want to play 3 to 5 more years, yes, injuries could get in the way of this. Yes, he could deteriorate. But, you know, as far as the deterioration goes, we haven't seen that yet. We thought it was happening against Jacksonville, and he immediately turned it back on again. As far as the injury stuff, he played 16 games last year, 15, I guess, and 14 the year before. So, you know, injury concerns haven't been something recent with Ben Roethlisberger. So can he play 3 to 5? Maybe. And that's why I want to talk about depth tonight. Because when we talk about taking Mason Rudolph, you have to talk about the opportunity cost of taking Mason Rudolph. Yes, you may have just taken the successor to Ben Roethlisberger in the 3rd round, and what an unbelievable value that would be, and how incredible would that be. But you also have to factor in that your quarterback is saying, I want to play 3 more years. I'm going to leave the 5 off of this because I think it's crazy, but I want to play 3 more years. Okay, you're going to play 3 more years. Do I need to draft your replacement right now? Even if it is in the 3rd round, even if it is for insane value. You know, so much of this talk of this team has been bringing in another inside linebacker to start, right? The inside linebacker play on this team is going to be terrible again. And who's going to start at what position? And whether the starting 11 on defense is good enough. My biggest worry on this defense and on this team is not starters. I'm not worried about the starting 11 on either side of the ball. Again, I think John Bostic is going to be a better player than Sean Spence was a year ago. Now, he's not going to be Ryan Shazier, but no one was. I think Morgan Burnett is going to be better than Mike Mitchell was a year ago. But you know what I don't think? I don't think this team is deeper at most positions than it was a year ago. And that's a real problem. The NFL has become a game of attrition. It's about surviving in to use a Tomlinism here, in surviving in a next man up league. So much of the success in this league is dictated not by your ability to have the best 22 starters in September. It's about surviving with the best lineup in November, December, and January. And that means having enough depth that when your key guys go out, your team doesn't fall apart. Just look back at the 2017 Steelers. Was 2017's defensive fall apart with the collapse that they had, was that about Ryan Shazier's injury? Or was it the Steelers' inability to replace him? They didn't go to Matakevich off the bench because he got hurt too. So they had to go to the street. They didn't go to LJ Fort. They didn't trust their fourth inside linebacker enough to play that role. So they went off the street and found Sean Spence. And that did not work out. And we knew going into last year's season that inside linebacker was a little thin. Behind Ryan Shazier, you're gonna start Vince Williams. We sure we don't want him to come off the bench? We don't want to push Vince Williams for a starting role? Nah, we'll be fine. Matakevich coming off the bench? That's going to be tough. LJ Fort behind him? Special team player. And what did we do to address that position in 2018? Nothing. We're going to go into this season with the same depth we had a year ago. John Bostic, Vince Williams will start. Behind them, it's Tyler Matakevich and LJ Fort. Now, we want to pin our hopes on this new undrafted free agent the Steelers got, an inside linebacker out of Florida State, Matthew Thomas. And I will agree, there's things in his tape and his game that you like. And maybe he does come through in training camp, and maybe he steals a roster spot from Fort. But the Steelers did not address in this draft any player who is really pushing Tyler Matakevich for that straight off the bench role. So if there is an injury to John Bostic, if there is an injury to Vince Williams, it's Tyler Matakevich coming off the bench. Are you okay with that? Edge rusher, same thing. Last year, this was a position where you really felt like, boy, we've got a good rotation going. We're going to have Bud Dupree on one side. We're going to have Watt on the other. James Harrison can kind of be there as like our bullpen guy. We can bring him in when we need a big sack in games. You still got Arthur Motes. Anthony Ciccolo's young. He can get better. This year, it's Bud Dupree, it's TJ Watt, it's Anthony Ciccolo off the bench, and beyond him, it's last year's seventh-round pick, Keon Adams, who didn't play at all last year because of an injury, and Kevin Colbert saying after the draft that he felt like Keon Adams is another seventh-round pick for this team. I mean, if we're relying on Keon Adams for any quality snaps this year, this is, again, we're tempting fate at this position again. And again, there's another undrafted free agent who I'm gonna butcher this guy's name, but Adini, who, yes, we want to pin our hopes on Adini can push maybe Keon Adams for that fourth spot at edge rusher. But if Bud Dupree goes down and Anthony Ciccolo has to start, and now Keon Adams is a part of your rotation, or again, heaven forbid, but if there were catastrophic injury at any of these positions again, and you go back to 2016, you don't have to go long ago to look at a position where we went through just mountains of injuries. 2016 wide receivers, Martavis Bryant gets suspended. Sammy Coates breaks his fingers, never comes back from that, and has the hamstring injury. Marcus Wheaton gets hurt that year. The Steelers end up starting in the AFC Championship game, Kobe Hamilton. Kobe Hamilton starts at wide receiver in that. And that's a year where we did have depth at wide receiver. Where you felt like Marcus Wheaton could start, but he got injured early. Sammy Coates looked great. He got injured. All it's going to take this season for things to massively fall apart again is any injuries at inside linebacker or edge rusher. If Bud and Ciccolo both go down, and let's not act like Bud Dupree has been a clean bill of health his whole career. He certainly has not. Neither has TJ Watt. TJ Watt wasn't healthy every game last year. All it's going to take is a couple of those guys going down for this team to have real problems again. And you go to wide receiver on offense, it's the same thing. I talked about this team needing to get a wide receiver in this draft before we traded Martavis. Now we trade Martavis Bryant. Yes, we drafted James Washington. I'm happy about that. I think James Washington will be a good player. But who's the fourth receiver on this team right now? You got AB? You got Juju? You got James Washington? Justin Hunter? Darius Heyward-Bey? Look, I know we're all on this Marcus Tucker bandwagon. And yes, he has been a very good player for this team in training camp. And he was a good player on the practice squad a year ago. But that's what we're pinning our hopes on? We're pinning our hopes on Marcus Tucker making this roster? The Steelers, and maybe Eli Rogers gets healthy in time for training camp and they can sign him. And I think he would be a legitimately good fourth receiver for this team. But right now, as the roster is constructed, if Juju goes down, you cool with Justin Hunter starting? We're cool with that? You're cool with Darius Heyward-Bey seeing significant minutes again? This team has the best starting roster in the AFC. But there are real legitimate questions about depth at too many positions. Last year, it was safety and it was inside linebacker. And you could argue last year that safety wasn't that bad because Robert Golden's veteran. You know, he was a potential starter 2 years ago. But this year, I mean, the deepest position on the roster is what? Corner? Artie, Hayden, Cam Sutton, Brian Allen, Cody Sensabaugh. You feel pretty good about corner, right? You feel pretty good. Quarterback is a good one. You've got Ben Roethlisberger and your rookie quarterback who you think was a first-round talent. Tight end's pretty good, I guess. Vance McDonald, Jesse James. Where are we really deep? I don't even know that we have a position where you look at and you go, we're really deep at that position. We're paper thin at too many positions to be taking a quarterback, to be taking a tackle. We just took our left tackle of the future when last year we just signed Villanueva to a new four-year deal. We just took a quarterback in the third round when we just had our quarterback tell us he wants to play three more years. That's where my frustration in this draft is. Terrell Edmonds is Terrell Edmonds. You know, he's either going to work out or he's not. He fits exactly what the Steelers look for in first-round players. Super athletic, maybe a little too raw. They're going to have to coach him up. James Washington was a good pick. We needed a wide receiver. But in the third round, we went off the rails. Quarterback was not a need for this team. And if we're sacrificing depth at inside linebacker in 2018, if we're sacrificing depth at edge rusher in 2018 because we just got our quarterback who maybe will play 3 years from now, you're either addressing the immediate needs at depth on this team or you're preparing for the future. But you're not having it both ways. And by saying I'm okay with taking a quarterback and I'm okay with taking a left tackle and guys who aren't going to contribute to this team for two or three more years, you are sacrificing immediate needs at linebacker and edge rusher and wide receiver and positions where we are too thin. And that may cost us in the short term. That's my problem with this year's draft. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thank you all for listening. Remember to go to LockedOnSports.com for all your MLB, NBA, and NFL news. Go to LockedOnSteelers.com to find more of this podcast. You could find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.